Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in. Friday edition of the show here. It is the Friday edition of the show. And I hope that you have a fantastic weekend lined up ahead of you. A few things happening this weekend in Michigan's Great Southwest. We'll learn about one of them coming up on today's show. Because, of course, this is the show where we talk more in-depth about things that you've heard about recently on WSJM News. We have longer conversations with the folks who are in the know or who are making things happen in Michigan's Great Southwest. And coming up on today's program, we will chat with Cornerstone Alliance to learn the latest about Whirlpool's plans for the St. Joe Tech Center. The City Commission recently approved a tax abatement for this Whirlpool project, but it's been scaled back just a little bit. Just a little. We'll check in with Cornerstone Alliance to learn more about this, what the latest plans are. We'll also hear from State Senator Tanya Shoemaker. She has proposed legislation intended to protect rape victims from losing custody of a child. This all stems out of a case in Sanilac County, which is in the thumb of Michigan. We'll chat with Senator Shoemaker about this legislation she's proposing. And also today, we'll talk about an event slated for tomorrow in St. Joe. It's to benefit the Out Center in Benton Harbor. They're holding their annual holiday concert, their holiday pride concert. We'll chat with the Out Center's Mary Jo Schnell about that on today's show. Plus, I've got the latest update on auto insurance reform. You may have heard about this already. We'll learn a little more coming up on today's program. And finally, we'll round out today's show with a discussion of the weekend box office. Our man in the dark, Jacob Holmes, our in-house blockbuster movie expert, will come in here. He and I will chat about the new films available at the cinema for you this weekend, because it is Friday, and that's the sort of thing you talk about on a Friday. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on Our Take, all you have to do is send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake@wsjm.com. Right now, we will take a quick break. When we come back, we'll chat with Cornerstone Alliance. News Talk 94.9, WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around, and we'll be right back. News Talk 94.9, WSJM. This is Our Take. I'm your host. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you for this Friday edition of the show. First thing I wanted to talk about on today's Our Take is something the St. Joe City Commission did a couple of weeks ago. Actually, about a week ago. It was their last meeting. City Commissioners approved a new industrial facilities exemption certificate for Whirlpool as it moves forward with plans to invest in the tech center in St. Joseph on Upton Drive over there. Whirlpool recently announced a $35 million investment in the tech center, and it has been scaled back a little bit. The City Commission's most recent action approving this tax abatement for the property is actually, it was done to reflect somewhat different plans Whirlpool has approved here. And that happens as you're planning projects like this. So the investment is going from $35 million to $25 million, but still they're putting a whole lot of money into the St. Joseph Tech Center. I caught up with Cornerstone Alliance's Rob Cleveland about this to learn about the latest plans, about what Whirlpool's got going on over there at that tech center. Let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Rob, so we've talked about this this expansion plan, this investment that Whirlpool's making in the St. Joseph Tech Center, and we've had a few different amendments come to it. The most recent one at the City Commission, they approved a somewhat scaled-back version of the plan. So I take it when a company like Whirlpool is planning an investment like this, things sort of change as the plan becomes more concrete.
That's exactly correct. The state forms that we have to fill out, whether you're doing any sort of tax abatement, require that you have to be within a certain percentage of what that total investment figure is. So over the last couple of months, Whirlpool has advanced the project further and gotten a better understanding of what the costs will be. So we had to go in and refine that number.
All right, so the investment's gone from $35 million to $25 million, which is still quite significant, but the project has been scaled back a little bit?
Not necessarily scaled back. What Whirlpools have been able to do is to gain efficiencies in a number of areas. So they were able to reduce the cost, the overall cost of the project, significantly. And then also, one of the many aspects where Whirlpool is a global leader is in the renewable energy and adaptive reuse and really an environmentally friendly aspect to everything they do. And so this building is a perfect example of that. They've been able to go in and find ways to reduce their footprint, which will ultimately have a better impact on the environment. So the original project we thought was going to be around 90,000 square feet of new construction, and we think now it's probably going to be more in the 55,000 square foot range. But that's because they've been able to maximize that space and will ultimately be what's best for Whirlpool Corporation and its employees.
Okay, and so when we look at the project, does this affect the number of jobs retained as a result?
So, again, the jobs retention piece, the jobs retained piece is, again, a function of how we have to report it out to the state. So the number is now 550, but if you also look in the description of that IFT, it states very clearly that Whirlpool anticipates retaining between 550 and 700 jobs at the St. Joseph Tech Center. Okay. Well, that's exactly what they would tell you they're doing today. On any given day, there's going to be between 550 and 700 employees there. But it's got a lot to do with the fact that the Whirlpool workforce is so multifaceted and skilled, which allows them to, an engineer could one day be working in St. Joe on a microwave project, and then the next day be working on a laundry project, or being over in Benton Harbor working on a refrigeration project. So it's really more a function of how we report it out to the state. But the jobs figure is the figure we've been talking about all along, and really reinforces Whirlpool's long-term commitment to the community.
Great, great. And that's the bottom line is, the project continues and they're still planning to invest in the tech center.
Correct. The only real difference here is the reduction in investment, and that's due solely to adaptive reuse of the existing facility and a smaller footprint on the new build, which, again, is really more about quality building practices and finding the best use for employees.
All right, that was Cornerstone Alliance's Rob Cleveland talking with us about Whirlpool's latest plans. They're still they're investing in the tech center, $25 million in work there. They're expanding the existing facility, making an addition. The work is likely to start this month if it hasn't already. And so that's going through Whirlpool refining its plans as they do with projects like this. And we are glad to see them investing in the St. Joseph area. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, I thought we would check in with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker. I caught up with her recently because she announced plans to introduce legislation that is intended to protect the victims of sexual assault, rape victims. It concerns the victim of a sex assault who becomes pregnant as a result of that sex assault. Now, Senator Shoemaker prompted to introduce this legislation in response to an incident that occurred in Sanilac County. That's in the Michigan's Thumb. I used to live over there. This incident occurred. It got some national attention, actually. I saw an article about this particular situation in USA Today. So I caught up with Senator Shoemaker to learn about her legislation. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Senator Shoemaker, tell us more about this legislation that you have announced.
Well, we all know that last session, I, along with my colleagues, passed the Rape Survivor Child Custody Act that stood as a reference point for the Sanilac case being reversed. As you know, the Sanilac County man who raped a 12-year-old girl, and she was then impregnated years later, he got custody of it because the mom actually went on public assistance, which triggered a paternity action, and therefore the judge ordered child custody and visitation for the rapist. And the mother was just totally incensed and outraged by this. So we're going to look at putting new standards and measures in to make sure that this doesn't ever happen again, so that women, when they go on to be put on public assistance and there's a paternity case started, to make sure that the woman knows, you know, to say, hey, this was not consensual and it was a child out of rape and I choose not to name the father. So we're going to do that. We're going to also look at changing or making it consistent between the Child Custody Act along with the Paternity Act, so that it is all consistent.
So this stems out of a case in Sanilac County. We'll get to that in a minute. So your bill just basically asserts a victim's parental rights in the case of sex assault so that the assailant can't ever get custody or partial custody?
Right now, under federal law, there's a good faith exemption so as not to name the father in the cases of a rape situation.
Okay.
And this mom didn't know that. And so we're going to strengthen the notice requirements of this, certainly keeping rape survivors and children who are conceived through rape safe and away from their attacker is the top priority of this legislation.
Okay, and this comes out of a situation in Sanilac County. Tell us, how long has this legislation been in the works? How did it come to your attention?
Well, this really arose out of the Sanilac situation because our justice system is meant to aid survivors and punish criminals, not the other way around. And as we saw there, at least the decision was reversed and justice was done.
Right, and I know that the woman that we're talking about here in Sanilac County at the center of this story, as well as her attorney, they're in favor of your plan. And I understand Right to Life has signed on to this as well?
Yes, Right to Life is a supporter of this as well.
All right, we're talking with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker about legislation she's introduced intended to protect the parental rights of sex assault victims. Anything else you want to add about this plan?
Just by ensuring custody laws in Michigan are uniform and consistent, along with informing women of the process involved in their assistance applications, we can close a lot of loopholes and prevent situations from like this happening again.
Okay, that was State Senator Tanya Shoemaker from Lawton telling us about this bill she announced last week. It was inspired by a situation in Sanilac County in which a man convicted of rape was briefly awarded joint custody of a child because the mother of said child sought out public assistance. And when you do that, when you apply for welfare, that automatically triggers a paternity action in which the state tries to determine who the father of the child is. This led to this situation in Sanilac County that did attract some national attention. It showed up in the newspapers and on the news wires around Michigan. So the attorney for that person went to Senator Shoemaker and asked for some clarification on state law there to protect individuals when these sort of situations arise. Senator Shoemaker announcing a plan last week in Lansing. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, we're going to take a break, a quick break, and when we come back, we will chat with Mary Jo Schnell of the Out Center in Benton Harbor. They have a big brouhaha planned for this weekend. It's their annual holiday concert, and you can still get in if you'd like to. That's going to be tomorrow at the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center. We'll learn about that in the next segment. And if you'd like to weigh in on something we discuss, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. Time now for a quick break. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, Friday edition of the show. Coming up on this segment right here in a second, we'll chat with the Out Center's Mary Jo Schnell. They've got their holiday concert taking place this weekend. It's the Out Center's annual holiday pride concert, and they're selling tickets. They're hoping a lot of people will show up. It helps to raise money for the Out Center. So your chance here to take in some holiday music this weekend, and in just a second, we'll chat with Mary Jo Schnell of the Out Center to learn about what they've got going on. Right now, I thought I should give you a little update on auto insurance reform. We've talked about this a million times on Our Take, and we're going to talk about it one more time here because something new has happened. In the State House last night, this package of bills intended to reduce auto insurance rates that we've talked about several times on the show, well, it finally got a vote last night in the State House, and it went down in flames. It was rejected by the State House last night, 45-63. Democrats were against the plan, and not all the Republicans were totally crazy about it either. This legislation was intended to reduce auto insurance costs by allowing people to opt for different levels of catastrophic medical coverage. A lot of people say the reason why auto insurance is so expensive in Michigan is because we have unlimited benefits for medical costs. And this State House plan introduced by State House Speaker Tom Leonard would have allowed a person to take a $500,000 limit on that coverage or a $250,000 limit on that coverage. The bill went down last night. Michigan News Network was there for the action. Democratic State Representative Stephanie Chang of Detroit, speaking on the House floor, explained why she was against the plan.
This bill does not guarantee rate reduction. Insurance companies can still get exceptions from the Insurance Bureau by justifying their decision using actuarial techniques.
The measure would have allowed drivers to opt out of a requirement to carry unlimited medical benefits through their auto insurance for crash injuries. Another Democrat who voted no last night was Leslie Dove, also of Detroit. She explained her position.
For over 20 years, legislators, particularly those from Detroit, have come to Lansing with a hope, a promise, a prayer to lower auto insurance rates for the people of Michigan. And repeatedly, they've been defeated by special interests.
Now, I actually thought this plan might pass the state house and then be shot down in the Senate. Nope, didn't even get through the house last night. I'm a little surprised House Speaker Tom Leonard brought it up for a vote if he was that far short of the votes needed for passage. But there you go. The situation is now temporarily over until it comes up again. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, let's check in with someone a little closer to home. I have talked to the Outsiders, Mary Jo Schnell, about their holiday concert this weekend. They're a Pride concert. They do it every year. And they're hoping lots of people will show up, lots of people will buy tickets, and lots of people will come out and have a good time. So I talked with Mary Jo Schnell about it. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Mary Jo. Now, I understand you've been holding this holiday concert each year for a few years now.
This will be our fifth year. And all 5 years, which we're very proud about, taking place at the Heritage Museum and Cultural Center in St. Joe.
So what is the idea behind this this annual concert that the Out Center has?
So the Holiday Pride Concert really is about a couple of things. Number one, it's of course the holidays. We understand that a lot of folks in the LGBT community don't always have fond memories of the holidays on topics regarding sexual orientation and gender identity. So this is our way of really just saying, you know, let's make sure that we celebrate everybody. Let's make sure that we embrace everybody in the spirit of the holidays in all of our wonderful diversity. So really providing a little bit of a welcome mat to the holidays, understanding that the holidays are a fabulous, fabulous time for everyone, and let's really make our best effort at being very inclusive and very welcoming. That's how it started in 2013, and fast forward to 2017, and we continue on with that very specific devotion, I'll say. So this year, as last year, Andrew Benedict Fisher is the artistic director of our concert. Mm-hmm. And he is providing some really amazing artistic direction, both in terms of who's performing and the content. So he is bringing with him people he's performed with in the past as part of his jazz quartet, as well as the Select Voices program at Southwestern Michigan College, which is an a cappella group that really kind of travels genres and continents in terms of pulling from their inspiration. They're just so amazing to listen to, and it's just a beautiful concert. The tone, the concept is about love, about diversity, about coming together as one community in Southwest Michigan.
Right, and you know that message is probably something we could really stand to hear right about now.
I agree, Andrew, and I think that's exactly it. There's just been so much going on out there over the waves, and so much of it is a little divisive and maybe even hateful sometimes. And so what we want to do in this event and through the organization's mission and programs is just say, you know what? What is the community that we all want to belong to? And how do we start kind of setting the tone for that? And it's a loving message. It's a unifying message. And it's an evening of community gathering and celebration. And we're very, very happy to be bringing this to Southwest Michigan on November 4th.
Great.
It is a fabulous message. And, you know, to be honest, too, we've gotten so much support from so many. Some of our top corporate sponsors this year include Four Winds Casino, Whirlpool Corporation, you know, Lake Michigan College, just some really great stuff going on that we're very, very happy about. And really looking forward to celebrating those corporations and businesses that have done so much for advancing equality in Southwest Michigan.
All right, so at tomorrow's concert, we've got jazz, we've got a cappella, various singers. It's multiple genres of music going on.
There is. It's going to be Andrew Benedict Fisher, Bruce Anderson, Gabrielle Smith, Joshua Goines, and like I said, the a cappella group Select Voices from Southwestern Michigan College. I will say we have a couple surprises in the evening, and I believe Andrew announced one earlier this morning, so I think I can share this. He's actually scored a piece just for Saturday night.
Oh, really?
And yeah, so that'll be a debut of that happening. But there's also going to be, interestingly enough, in after the election, November 2016, without making any political commentary whatsoever, we had moms coming through our door like never before.
Hmm.
And so this night as well, there's going to be a representative, three representatives of a group of moms sharing with our community that night. That's going to be just beautiful. These evenings have come to be known as very powerful, unifying evenings where people really embrace the idea of caring for each other. Hmm. And we're really looking forward to a real special rendition of that this year with what Andrew has organized musically, and also what the moms are going to be talking about and sharing with us as well. And then, of course, afterwards, you know, the evening starts at 7. People can get tickets at the Out Center or at Eventbrite.com online. But afterwards, there's also this people don't want to leave. Hmm. And so what we've come to do and know is it's time for some dessert, some snacks, and champagne and refreshments. And so there's the afterglow as well. And that's kind of the bonding, I think, happening after the performance as well.
Is that also at the Heritage Museum?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Great. And does the event raise funds for the Out Center, or?
Yes. So every ticket counts. Every donation counts. The organization, we're a small organization. This is our second fundraiser of each year, and it matters very, very much that people buy tickets and attend, not only for the community building and support, but because support from this event helps support our programs. We're the only organization like us in the Tri-County area. We're one of only 8 LGBT community centers serving Michigan. And every dollar counts. $40 in advance, $45 at the door. Like I said, you can buy them in person at the Out Center at 132 Water Street in Benton Harbor, or go online to outcenter.org or eventbrite.com and search for the links to Holiday Pride. And you will find us there. You will find the more details about the evening, logistics, as well as a way to purchase tickets.
All right.
And support the programs.
All right. Is there a limited number of tickets? If you wait too long, are you missing out?
We have yet to run into that because there's a little bit of overflow available up in the balcony, but we could. So I believe the seating is around 200. And so I would encourage people to buy now. and again, you're doing two things. You're joining a beautiful community celebration that sets the tone for the holidays and beyond, as well as supporting a very unique organization providing very, very important and highly effective programs to LGBT people, mm-hmm. their families, and the organizations that serve and support.
All right, we're talking to the Out Center's Mary Jo Schnell about their holiday concert tomorrow. Mary Jo, anything else you want to add about what's going on?
Well, yes, actually I do.
Okay.
I want to thank very much Midwest Family Broadcasting and WSJM and the family of stations for all of your support to this. to not only to the Out Center for the year, but to this amazing opportunity to come together as one community.
All right. That was Mary Jo Schnell at the Out Center, ending there by, well, thanking the radio stations for promoting the holiday concert. It is tomorrow. Go to, you know what, Google WSJM.com. Just Google WSJM Out Center. You'll find a story with a link to where you can get a ticket. They do this every year, and Mary Jo says it's a fun and welcoming event each holiday season. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. It's time for a quick break right now. When we come back, I'll remind you this is the time to fall back. We'll also chat with Jacob Holmes, our man in the dark, about the weekend's new offerings at the box office. If you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake@wsjm.com. Time for a break right now. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You are listening to Our Take, Friday edition of the show. Thanks for being with us. So far on today's show, we chatted with Cornerstone Alliance about the latest plans that Whirlpool has for the tech center in St. Joe. $25 million in work will be going on over there as they invest in the community. We're certainly glad to hear about that. Also, we chatted with State Senator Tanya Shoemaker about her most recent legislation to protect victims of sex assault. Last segment, we talked about the Out Center's holiday concert, which is tomorrow. Right now, I wanted to give you a quick update here. You know what this weekend is, don't you? This is the weekend of fallback. Daylight saving time ends on Sunday at 2 in the a.m. So before you go to bed on Saturday, set your clock back an hour. And the state fire marshal is sending out a message to folks. Actually, so is the Michigan Department of Transportation. They have some safety reminders for people. Falling back when you move your clocks back, the state fire marshal says this is a good time to check out your smoke alarm batteries. They always recommend you test your smoke alarm batteries this weekend. It's just a good rule of thumb. You should check them every so often. State Fire Marshal Kevin Salemeyer says, quote, the foam cushions and synthetic fabrics in household furnishings today produce more heat, thick, dark smoke, and fire gases than in the past. Early warnings by working smoke alarms in your home are especially important right now. So he wants everyone to check their smoke alarm batteries. According to the National Fire Protection Association, 71% of smoke alarm failures are a result of missing, disconnected, or dead batteries. Never remove or disconnect batteries from detectors unless you're putting a new battery in. And this is the weekend to do it. It's a good time to take care of that while you're turning your clocks back on Saturday night. Three of every five home fire deaths in the United States result from fires in homes with no smoke alarms or no working smoke alarms. Last year, home fires in Michigan killed 91 people. That's according to the National Fire Incident Reporting System. Fire departments throughout the state responded to more than 12,000 home fires last year. So far this year, there's been a total of 61 civilian residential fire fatalities and more than 9,000 residential fires in the state of Michigan. So the state fire marshal says this is the weekend to test or replace your smoke alarm batteries. Always make sure that those smoke alarms are in working order. And also the Michigan Department of Transportation has a safety reminder right now. MDOT says drivers, bicyclists, and pedestrians returning to the standard time this weekend, they should know it'll get darker 1 hour earlier. Really? It'll get dark 1 hour earlier, so it's important to watch out for pedestrians and bicyclists on your drive home. Be extra careful because it won't be that late, but it will be dark. They may be out and about. MDOT says driving through school zones becomes more challenging for drivers during the first week of the time change. MDOT state director says pedestrians and bicyclists should wear brighter reflective clothing in order to be seen more easily. Those behind the wheel need to pay closer attention and eliminate distractions while driving, especially next week after we turn our clocks back. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says nearly 6,000 pedestrians were killed in crashes last year with motor vehicles. So a couple of safety reminders as you prepare to turn back your clock this weekend. News Talk 94.9 WSJM right now, because it's Friday, I thought we would close out this edition of the show and this week of shows by talking about your weekend box office offerings. I can often be found at the movies on the weekend, and I know that our own Jacob Holmes, our man in the dark, can also be found there. There's a couple of new movies this weekend. Jacob, come on in here. All right, Jacob, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me again.
All right, so it is Friday, so new movies opening up, and it has been slow at the box office lately, from my understanding.
Right, but it's about to pick right back up because there's a new Marvel movie out.
New Marvel movie, and people get excited about these. Which one do we have this weekend?
This is Thor Ragnarok, the third Thor film. This is starring Chris Hemsworth, and it is... it's being called like the best of the Thor movies. Thor has never been a the Thor movies have never been like the critical darlings of the Marvel universe.
No, they're sort of the weaker entries there.
Right, even though I don't think they're not that bad. I mean, they're still miles above, you know, something like Transformers or things like that. But
oh yeah.
Yeah, Thor has always been kind of the weak link in the Marvel cinematic universe, but everyone's saying that this third one changes all of that.
Really? Why is that?
Because it doesn't take itself seriously at all. And I have to agree, the first two Thor movies took themselves a little too seriously. I mean, the first one was directed by Kenneth Branagh, so there you go.
Right. I seem to recall, though, there was some comedy there with the fish out of water stuff.
Yeah, but it didn't quite work. I mean, you had Kat Dennings the comic relief in the first two movies, and yeah.
Is she not back this time?
No, and Natalie Portman's not in this either.
Oh, well.
This movie takes Thor off of Earth and is in... this sends Thor to... So Cate Blanchett is the villain in this movie. She plays Hela, the goddess of death.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Norse mythology buff, just don't even bother. this is comics. This is comics mythology.
Okay.
And she takes over Asgard, Thor's home world, and outcasts him to this planet where he is enslaved into gladiatorial combat with the Hulk.
Right. I've gotten the trailer to this movie about 940,000 times. And there's a lot of, it looks like, comedic scenes between the
right.
Hulk.
They're going for straight up comedy on this one. It's directed by Taika Waititi, who directed the vampire mockumentary What We Do in the Shadows, which I highly recommend that movie. It is very funny. You need to watch it.
Really?
Yes.
How old is that film?
It's a couple of years old. He's a New Zealand director, and he's got a knack for comedy.
Okay.
So yeah, I highly recommend that movie from that director. But yeah, he really directs it well, and it's bright and colorful. Everyone says the action is great. Thor and Hulk, that team up is amazing. I mean, it was good. That's always been kind of a classic team up in the comics too. Thor and Hulk.
Has it?
Yeah, and they kind of did that a little bit in the last two Avengers movies. But this one, they finally get their own movie together. And, of course, Tom Hiddleston returns as Loki from the previous movies.
That's what I was going to ask. Is Loki back?
Yep, Loki is very much back. And I guess that Cate Blanchett is in it as well. Anthony Hopkins returns as Odin.
Okay.
And Jeff Goldblum is in this movie. He's his character's name is a Grand Master, and he's like the ruler of that gladiator planet that end up on.
I've seen pictures of him from the film, and like he's probably fun.
Yes, I cannot wait to see him in this movie. I love me a good, funny, awkward Jeff Goldblum performance.
All right, so you sound excited for Thor Ragnarok.
Yes, I am. I am very excited. I love these Marvel movies. I mean,
all right.
You can make the argument that, like, yeah, they're getting... We kind of come to expect the same stuff from them a lot, but I don't know. There's always something that, like... There's always just enough new that keeps us coming back. Like Doctor Strange, I will concede the story. Oh, he's in this movie as well.
Really?
Yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch is. They Thor was in the post credit scene in Doctor Strange.
Oh, okay. So they always do that at the and during the end credits, a surprise scene always pops up where they do something.
Yeah, and so Doctor Strange is a bit part in this movie. Going back to Doctor Strange, that was a very standard origin story, something that people are really tired of.
Right.
But it was one of the most visually interesting comic book movies I've ever seen. And Benedict Cumberbatch, you know, great performance, great for that character.
Great. Well, you know, Thor 3 has about 400 showings this weekend at Celebration Cinema. So it's not as though there's a shortage of opportunities to check this one out.
No, no. And I think that this movie, of course, it's going to do big business, and this, from what I understand, the events of this movie have a big impact on the upcoming third Avengers movie next year, which will have that movie's going to have the Guardians of the Galaxy in it.
It won't be
too long before we see those guys again.
Well, that's the new Marvel film. We've got a DC film coming out soon.
Yeah, Justice League comes out in 2 weeks.
I'm looking forward to that. Obviously.
Yeah, I'm curious. I have hopes for that movie, but it's weird.
Right.
I know. None of the trailers have really wowed me. But I mean, they struck gold with Wonder Woman this past summer.
Everybody hated Batman v Superman.
Not everybody, but
I don't even like that movie.
No, I didn't like it either, but it's got its supporters, and I can kind of see where they're coming from. It's just it didn't do anything for me what they were trying to do with that
movie.
By
the way, did you know that Debbie Stabenow is in Batman v Superman?
Yes, I did. I did see that.
I was watching it and she just pops up in one scene. Anyway,
because there's a scene scenes that take place in Washington, D.C.
Right. Okay, so we're getting off base here. What's the other new movie opening up?
The other new movie is, well, Halloween just ended, so you know what that means. It's Christmas time.
Oh, no.
So you got A Bad Mom's Christmas. It's the sequel to last summer's Bad Moms.
Okay, I did see the first Bad Moms.
I did not.
It was okay.
I have not heard good things about this. I mean, it is a comedy sequel.
So
all bets are that it's not going to be anywhere as good as the original.
But you have that option if you want to see these moms being bad on Christmas.
I got the trailer for this a couple times, and I watched it. And I just went like, why? Why is this movie happening? Why does this need to exist?
Yeah, I'll pass on that one. I might actually see Suburbicon while I still can.
That's not going to be around for much longer.
No, it has two screenings.
And it came out last weekend.
Right, so that bombed pretty hard. So that's what I'm looking at. But you're excited for Thor?
Yep, I am very excited for Thor.
And those are our two new options at the box office this weekend. Anything else that you recommend that's out at the moment?
Not really. I think a lot of the bigger stuff from the past has pretty much moved out. I mean, Blade Runner is still playing.
I thought Happy Death Day was pretty good.
Oh, you did end up seeing that. You've got that if you aren't quite ready to let go of Halloween just yet.
You can see Jigsaw as well.
Yeah, for that. And
and of course, you know, the truly classic Halloween film, Tyler Perry's Boo 2, A Madea Halloween.
There you go.
All right,
you got
Jacob.
Plenty of Halloween leftovers if you're not ready for Christmas yet.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Jacob.
Thank you for having me again.
All right. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That does it for another edition and another week of Our Take. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email at ourtake@wsjm.com. That's ourtake at WSJM.com. We should be back Monday, same station, same time. In the meantime, you have a fantastic and very safe weekend.